Praise God. Please be seated if you would. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you came in this morning, you should have received a set of notes with today's date, May 25th, 2008, in the lower left-hand corner of your notes. The title of the message being Managing Life God's Way, Part 12. If you did not receive a set of notes when you came in, if you lift up your hand real high, we'll make sure that you get that set of notes. Now, before I forget, we are going to give a little video clip. I almost forgot about it, but we don't want to do that today being, this is Memorial Day weekend, tomorrow being Memorial Day. We do want to remember. All those that died before us. I know that many of you, including myself, have had forefathers, if you will, that have fought in order so that we might stay free as a nation. All of us have had the Lord Jesus Christ who laid down His life that we might be free as people of faith. Amen? And so we want to remember today. And so before we get into the Word of God, I'd like us to just watch this little video clip, if you would.
Decided that their country was more important than the personal fears they faced, even more important than their own lives. And don't feel guilty, that's not the point. Don't change your plans, they wouldn't want that. Go to the lake, do the barbecue, hang out with friends and family, or just rest. Thank God for 3-day weekend. But in the process, today more than any other day, be grateful. And remember, remember that the freedom under which we live is not something that they took lightly. To them, freedom is much more than a 3-day weekend.
Amen. Good, healthy reminder. Amen. Amen. I'd like all of our veterans, if you'd stand up, we want to acknowledge you today. We're so glad that you fought. Many of you fought and you have come back. Amen? Amen. 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 And you know, I just feel like the Lord would have us pray for those that are fighting as we speak. Can we just all pray together right now? Heavenly Father, we lift up all of our military personnel, Father, whether they be in Iraq or Afghanistan or maybe even here in the United States training or other parts of the world, Father God. We pray for them, Father. We pray for those that already have placed faith in Jesus Christ. We pray that you would encourage and strengthen them by your Holy Spirit on the inside of them. We pray that you would give them a boldness and that their faith would deepen and that they would share the good news of Jesus Christ with their co-patriots, Father God. And Father, for those soldiers, those military personnel, Father God, who yet do not know you in a personal way, Father, we pray that someone would share with them that gospel, Father God, that you would minister to them in a way in which they've never been ministered to before. We pray for every chaplain, whether it be Army, Air Force, Navy, National Guard, or Marines. Father, we pray for every chaplain right now. that the ones that know you would preach the gospel without any fear, that they would be bold in what they say and compassionate at the same time. We pray, Father God, a great harvest of people will come into the kingdom of God even as these things take place, Father God. In this time of war, we thank you that many will find peace in their spirit, peace in their soul by a relationship with Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, Father, and we pray this war ends as soon as it can end, Father God, with your help. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm a patriot. Amen. We live in the best country in the world. I've lived in other countries. Amen. 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 And we don't always recognize the fact that we live in the best country. I believe God started this country and brought it to a place where it could be the most used of Him to bring evangelism throughout the world. And though the enemy would try to steal it from us, praise God, we've got the victory in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Would you open your Bibles with me to the book of Galatians chapter 5? Galatians chapter 5 is where we're going to begin this morning. As I've already mentioned, the title of the message this morning is Managing Life God's Ways. This is part 12 in this series. I don't know how long it'll be. We're going to just go until the Lord says otherwise, but we got a lot of things to talk about so far. As we began this series, we talked about surrendering our lives to God. How many of you know in order for really God to manage our lives and for us to allow Him to manage our lives His way, the first thing that's necessary is that we surrender ourselves to Him and say, God, no longer my will, but your will be done. Amen? And so we began by talking about the necessity of surrendering our lives to Him and just giving it all up in any area of our life. Perhaps there's something that we have yet to let go, something that we're holding on to, that we need to let Him have 100%. And that may be something that we need to examine every day of our lives, because sometimes I think we surrender something and for whatever reason, it gets back into our life, and we need to re-surrender that until we get the victory and it stays out. In Jesus' name. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And so we've talked about, again, numerous things. We talked about renewing our minds with the Word of God. Lately, we've been talking about the love of God. How many of you know God loves you with a love that is without compare? Amen? And in order for us to understand what it is to walk in love toward others, we must get a revelation of God's love for us. And so we're going to continue talking about this issue of love, because there is no other message more important in the Word of God than the message of love. In fact, John said, the Apostle John in 1 John, he said, this is the message that you've heard from the beginning. And that message is love. And so it is the most important aspect of the Christian faith, this love walk, based first and foremost on God's love for us. We're all familiar, I'm sure, with John 3:16, which states, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved that He gave. And so when we're talking about love, we're not talking about natural love. We're not talking about a selfish kind of human love. We're talking about this agape or agape kind of love, which is a divine love, which is the kind of love that God has for us. Amen? Amen. Please look alive. You know, a lot of folks are not here today because it is a vacation time. But even if you have to fake it, look enthusiastic, it'll help the preacher. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Galatians chapter 5. Let's just read our text that we've read a couple of times already in this series. But in Galatians chapter 5, let's begin reading here at verse 22. It reads this way. But the fruit of the Spirit, everybody there? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's or belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. We talked about this idea of the fruit of the Spirit. The word fruit in the original Greek has the idea of that which originates or comes from something. And so when we read it in this context, we know that it's referring to that which originates or comes from the Spirit. Or the Holy Spirit will say, dwelling on the inside of us. And so the first and primary thing that it states here is that which originates and comes from the Holy Spirit and therefore is to be born out through us is love. And all those other things really are attributes of love. When you walk in love, you walk in joy. When you walk in love, you're going to have peace. When you walk in love, you're going to be temperate and meek, and you're going to have self-control. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? That's why it says fruits in the singular, not in the plural, because love really is the sum of all the other things. And so we dealt with this, and we'll continue to deal with this. We started off by talking about God's love for us. And I want to just mention a few things. Notice in our introduction, let's read our introduction this time. Sometimes we don't. It says this: today, we're going to continue sharing about the fruit of the Spirit and how it relates to managing life God's way. When we talk about managing life God's way, we're talking about God having His way in our lives in every area. Lately, we've been dealing with the subject of love, which is really the fruit of the Spirit. We began by talking about God's love for us, and then we spoke about us loving God. And it's been 3 weeks since we talked about this, and so it's necessary that maybe we review a little bit more than normal. Remember now, so far we talked about God's love for us. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a couple minutes with some other scriptures I wanted you to see. And we've also talked about us loving God. Now, going on with our introduction today, we're going to discover some exciting truths about our love walk toward others. I pray it'll inspire all of us to love like we've never loved before. The world's full of hate, and a lot of times people have this idea that this kind of love is weakness, but the truth of the matter is, love, this kind of love never fails. Yeah. Amen. The Bible says to overcome evil with good. See, the world and Satan and the kingdom of darkness would try to convince us that there's more power in evil than there is in good. And even Hollywood, to a certain extent, will try to convince us there's more power in evil than there is good. But the Bible says, and the Bible's true, everybody said amen. Amen. The Bible says that we overcome evil with good. Good is more powerful than evil. Love is more powerful than hate. Are you hearing me? Amen? We need to get that ingrained into our minds. You notice in the brief review, the believer's love for God, letter A, we're able to love God because of His love for us. His love for us has empowered us to love Him as well. 1 John 4:19 essentially says that. Now, I'd like us to just look at this first slide. If you look up on the big screen for a minute here, the New Living Translation of Ephesians 3:18-19. I want us to pay attention to this because we're talking about the fact that we're able to love because God first loved us. Look at this. It says this in the New Living Translation of Ephesians 3:18-19. And may you have, this is part of Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ through it, though it is so great to understand, or too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That ought to be our prayer, amen? That God would help us to come to a comprehension and a revelation of the how wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of God really is for us. Amen. And the more revelation we have of that, the more power we have to love one another. Love is the key to the Christian life. Amen? Loving God and loving others is the key to the Christian life. Let's look at the next slide, if you will. Notice from the Message Bible, it says this. Part of that prayer, you'll be able to take in with all Christians the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, and rise to the heights of a knowledge of the love of Almighty God. Amen? Powerful statement, wouldn't you agree? That ought to be our prayer because, again, we're able to love God because of His love for us. And so the more we understand God's love for us, the more we can love God. And with that, we're going to see a little later, with that we're empowered to love others and even love those that we may consider unlovable. Does anybody know anybody that you might consider unlovable or hard to love? Amen? There are some, isn't there? Thank you for that weak acknowledgement, but that's all right. That underwhelming response is overwhelming. Praise God. Let's look at the brief review again. Again, letter A, we're able to love God because of His love for us. Letter B, the greatest demonstration of our love for God is our obedience to His Word. We saw Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands or keep my word, right? And so obedience to His Word is the greatest indicator of our love for Him. Letter C, this is all review. To the degree we love God is the degree He reveals Himself to us. We saw that from John 14:21. D, our love for God determines our covenantal blessings. Again, you can look up these scriptures. Being this is review, I encourage you to look them up again and be reminded of what those scriptures say. Again, our love for God determines our covenantal blessings. He said, if you will love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, then the inheritance will become yours and be manifested in your lives. That's a paraphrase, but the gist of it. Letter E, it says this, as we love God, we are known of Him. That idea is that we find favor, that there's favor. How many of you know He already knows us? But this idea in that passage of 1 Corinthians 8:3 is that we will have His favor operating in our life. Letter F, those that love God are preserved by Him. Psalm 145 and verse 20 goes. Letter G, there is deliverance, honor, answered prayer, and long life for those that love God. Psalm 91. You remember, for them who have set their love upon me, God says through Moses, the writer of Psalm 91, He says, those that have set their love upon me, He says, I will honor them, they will call upon me, and I will answer them with long life. I will satisfy them. Amen? And I will show them my salvation. And so the promise for those that have set their love upon God. All right? Going on with that, letter H, the Bible predicts that in the last days the love of many shall wax cold. If you were with us last time, you remember that we ended with that concept. The love of many will wax cold in the last days because really, in part, because of persecution, because of trouble, because of all these things, the pressure that comes, that is destined to come in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. But you know what? The greatest remedy of that is that we stay together, we stay in the Word, we worship God like we did this morning. I'll tell you, the greatest remedy is just stay close to God. Amen. And staying close to God is also reflected in our staying close to fellow believers as well, isn't it? Amen. All right? And so, because iron sharpens iron, amen? All right, now also letter I. It says the church in Ephesus was rebuked by Jesus for having left their first love. We read that in Revelation chapter 2 and verses 1 through 5. They were rebuked because they had left their first love. Notice it doesn't say they lost their first love. A lot of times people quote it that way, don't they? Well, they lost their first love. No, it says they left their first love. There is a great difference between leaving your first love and losing your first love. Because if you lost your first love, you're not to blame. But if you left your first love, who do you look to blame? I guess it was your fault. Isn't that right? Yeah. Amen? And so we're to put ourselves in check and be watchful and adjust ourselves. I said these things to you last time, and then we'll delve into this. The 10 evidences, there may be more, of having left your first love. Do you delight in someone else more than the Lord? I'm going to reiterate these because I think it's needed. Is that all right? Do you delight in someone else more than the Lord? Have you lost your desire for times of fellowship in God's Word and prayer? What are the reflections of your heart during times of ease? You know, times of ease can be dangerous spiritually. Can't they? Yep. Amen. How many of you know? You know, I believe in vacations. I really do. I think they can be refreshing. But how many of you know Satan doesn't take a vacation? And we still need to keep ourselves spiritually fit. Amen? Spiritually fit. And so, what are the reflections of our heart during times of ease? Letter D, as I put them to you last week, or 3 weeks ago rather, do you give, or rather this, do you easily give in to temptation, thinking, oh well, God will forgive me. How many of you know that is frustrating the grace of God? That is taking advantage of God's grace with that kind of mindset, isn't it? Well, I'm going to give in. I know God will forgive me. Something's wrong with that kind of thinking. Another one was, do you give grudgingly to the gospel or to the needs of people? The next one, do you view the commands of Christ as restrictions to your happiness rather than expressions of His love? You know, if you have children, you know that you put restrictions on your kids not because you want to restrict them of fun, but because you love them and you want to keep them safe. Isn't that right? God has given us restrictions because He loves us. He doesn't want to keep us from enjoying life. He wants us to live longer and not do things that'll kill us. Isn't that right? How many of you know He's the designer? He's the designer of our minds. He's the designer of our bodies. And therefore, He can tell us what's going to hurt our minds or our bodies and therefore say, thou shalt not do those things or your mind or your body is going to be hurt. Isn't that right? And we have a society, a world really, that is full of broken-hearted people, of emotionally messed up people, because they've left the guidelines of the Word of God in so many ways. All of us can fall in that category to one degree or another. Isn't that right? But thank God once we come to Christ, restoration begins to take place. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank God for that. And so again, Are you doing all right? All right. Do you, going on with that idea of how you might know whether you've left your first love, do you view, again, the commandments of Christ as restrictions to your happiness rather than expressions of His love? Do you look for the approval of people more than the approval of God? Do you refuse to witness to others because you are embarrassed? There's a big one. Do you willingly offend weaker believers because you will not give up questionable activities? And then lastly, do you hold grudges against those who have offended you? Those are all indicators of possibly having left your first love. Your first love being who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, let's look at some other things with this. All right. Roman numeral number three. It says the believer's love for others. Again, we've talked about God's love for us. We talked about our need for loving God. Now let's talk about the believer's love for others. Let's go, if you will, to Matthew chapter 22. We're going to look at it in another translation on the big screen in a minute. But let's go to Matthew 22 in your Bibles first, and let's read a little bit of it there and go on from there. Matthew chapter 22. It says, beginning with verse 34. Are you there with me? In fact, we'll read it. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. That's Jesus who had silenced the Sadducees. How many of you know Jesus had a way of shutting people up, didn't he? In verse 35, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Notice what verse 40 says. It says, on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. Let's just read it quickly from the New Living Translation. It's not a lot different, but there's one particular point. There's a lot to it. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Everybody say equally important. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he says, the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. The entire law. Everything is based on loving God and loving your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Really everybody, isn't that right? And so everything else is based on that. Go to Romans chapter 13, if you don't mind. Romans chapter 13. And beginning with verse 8, Romans 13, verse 8. This is a Bible church, amen? Amen? So we need to turn there when we can here. Romans 13, beginning with verse 8, Paul says by the Holy Spirit, he says this, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. He who loves another has fulfilled the law. Then he explains a little bit further. Verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying. Namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Isn't that right? All right, so we could fill in this first blank under Roman numeral number 3, letter A. Love is a command to be obeyed, isn't it? In fact, love is the command of the New Testament, isn't it? All right, now we'll talk about other things that may be popping up in your mind right now, I believe. But notice again, love is a command to be obeyed. Now, we're not going to turn to John 13, 34, and 35. It's in your notes, though. And basically, that says this, a new commandment I give unto you, Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you love one another as I have loved you. In other words, he's saying that I put my love, I put the ability to love others that I have in you. We have the ability as believers to love as he has loved. And he is God, isn't he? All right, go with me if you don't mind, though, to 1 John. another passage that's in your notes, but let's go to 1 John near the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to read into chapter 5 as well, the first three verses. But let's start with chapter 4 and verse 20. Are you there with me? 1 John 4, verse 20. We'll start there and then we'll go right into chapter 5 and read through verse 3. It says this: if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Wow. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? If someone says, I love God, and hates his mother-in-law, he's a liar. Brother includes anybody, isn't that? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Really? Yeah. He that says, I love God, and hates their employer, hates their co-worker, whatever it might be, you fill in the blank. It says if they love God and hate somebody, they are a liar if they say they love God. Isn't that right? And hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Say, born of God. He that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, that's loves God or Jesus, it says this, and everyone who loves him who begot, that's God the Father, also loves him who is begotten of him. And so we could say that if you're born of God, then if you are now one who loves God, you must also love one who is begotten of God, which means your fellow brother and sister in Christ, right? Then it goes on and says in verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Notice, and his commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. Jesus said, come unto me all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, learn of me and I will give you rest. Isn't that right? And so they were never meant to be burdensome. Anything that he commands us to do, this love walk was never meant to be a burden, never meant to be legalistic. No, God has given us empowerment to walk this love walk. And it's by the grace of God living on the inside of us. Isn't that right? And so going on to this, now notice now, letter A, number one, this says in your notes, this says it this way in your notes, our love for God has an expression on earth. Everybody say expression. Our love for God has an expression on earth. It's expressed by loving others. So what is it saying? It's saying this, that the way we prove we love God is by loving one another. You want to show that you love God, then love your brother and sister in Christ. You want to show that you love God, then love the sinner as well. Isn't that right? Amen. The way we show we love God, prove that we love God, is how we treat other people. Amen. Now, number two, with every command, there is enablement. With every command, there is enablement. Let's look up at the big screen and let's look at John 17, verse 26 from the Amplified Bible. Notice what it says. This is part of Jesus' prayer just before going to the cross, really. He said this, I have made your name, he's praying to the Father, I have made your name known to them and revealed your character and your very self. And I will continue to make you known that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be what? In them, felt in their hearts, and that I myself may be in them. And so Jesus prayed that the love that the Father had bestowed upon him would be in us. Do you believe God answered Jesus' prayer? In fact, we won't turn there. The reference is in your notes, Romans 5:5. Most of us are aware of that scripture. I quote it quite often. It says, the love of God is shed abroad, other translations might say, poured into our hearts by the Holy Ghost who's been given to us. And so you have the love of God. So when you say, I can't love so-and-so, you're lying. If you're born of God, you've got the love of God in you. Amen. You've got the capacity to love as Jesus loved. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I, or in the same way that I have loved you. And so he's saying that you have the capacity to love the way Jesus loved. So when you say, I can't love so-and-so, you are lying, because God says you can. And you know what? If I was having to, make a decision as to whether you're telling the truth or God's telling the truth, I'm going to say, I think God's telling the truth. Amen? God says you can. God says that His love, Jesus' love, is on the inside of us. That the Holy Ghost, when He came to dwell in us, has poured into us the love of God as well. And so with every command, number two, with every command, there is enablement. Everybody say enablement. Now, go here. You're already in 1 John. Probably look at 1 John chapter 3. And we got to talk fast. You're going to have to listen fast because we're running out of time real quick here. All right? Now, 1 John chapter 3. The next thing that's mentioned here, verse 14, it says this. Are you there? Yes, sir. 1 John, you might want to just hold your place, 1 John, because we might go to some other scriptures, but 1 John is going to be referred to quite often. All right, so it says in verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life. Why? Because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. All right, now notice again, it says we know we pass from what? Death to life. What's the indication? What is the proof? What is the evidence that we pass from, it's talking about spiritual death to spiritual life. What's the evidence that we love our brothers? And you know what? That's not just in word. It's easy to say, I love you, brother. It's in word and deed, isn't it? It's in word and deed. Now go to your notes now, lowercase a under number two, after saying that every command, there is enablement put together with it. Lowercase a says divine love is the primary evidence that we have the life of God. Say life of God. Say I have the life of God. That Greek word, all of you have heard of it probably, Zoe, the life of God. But let's talk about this for just a couple of minutes. Again, remembering to hold your place there in 1 John. Go back over here to the next passage that I'm giving you in your notes. Lowercase b refers to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Could you turn there with me? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Now, I'm not attempting to share with you some phenomenal revelation that's going to cause you to be awestruck. But you know what? We're getting down here to where we live life, where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Isn't that right? And when you think about it, this is something that could cause us to be in awe because of the fact that His love has been shed abroad in our hearts. He's commanded it and He's empowered us to walk in that kind of love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says this in verse 23. Are you ready there? It says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you'll notice in your notes, lowercase b under number two. Does everybody follow me on the notes? Man is a three-part being, isn't he? Now, I know many of us have heard this, but we need to hear it again because I think that we become perhaps callous to it. We forget it, whatever. You know, Peter said one time, I will not be negligent, brethren, to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them. And so we need to have these things put into remembrance at times. Man is made up of three parts. What are those three parts according to that passage? Spirit, soul, and body. You are a three-partite man, a tripartite man. You have a spirit. All right, first of all, we could say it this way. In fact, I'm going to have you say it in a minute. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. We need to become conscious of that. Because we too often think of ourselves as what we see on the outside. I'm a body. This is me. No, really. This body, I look better than this. You understand what I'm saying? My spirit is better looking than my body, all right? No, the reality is we are a spirit. We're created in God's image and likeness as we're born again. And we have a soul. What is the soul? The soul is our mind, will, and emotions. The spirit is that part of us that contacts the spiritual realm. For the believer, it's that part of us that contacts God. Amen. I'm going to prove it to you in just a minute. And obviously, we all know what our body is. As I've said before, our body is simply our earth suit. As long as we keep wearing our earth suit, we will live on earth. When we take our earth suit off, we are going to leave planet earth and we're going to be in heaven. Isn't that right? I think it's important that we become more spirit-minded than body-minded. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Say it with me. I am a spirit. I possess a soul. And I live in a body. Amen. We're a three-part being, and it's important for us to realize that and to understand it to a greater extent. I'd like you to turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 3. Are you getting anything out of this today? John's Gospel, chapter 3. Remember, Paul said, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body. They're not the same thing. Paul would not have separated them if they were the same thing, even the spirit and the soul. They are not. In John chapter 3, let's read this with new eyes, so to speak, today. And let's see something perhaps we've never seen before. In John's Gospel, chapter 3, many of us are familiar with this. But praise God, remember, if it's old to you, it's not real to you. It says in John 3, beginning with verse 1. Everybody there? It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, and for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Everybody say, born again.
Born again.
He cannot see the kingdom of God. Somebody said, are you a born-again Christian? Is there any other? According to the Scripture, there's not, is there?
Yeah.
Now, people may be a Christian and not know that terminology, but that doesn't change what the Bible says. It says in this, it says that you cannot, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Automatically, Nicodemus is thinking body, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's thinking being born in his body again when he hears this phrase, born again. He says, how can a man being old be born? He says, can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, in the context of this, I'm convinced that born of water is referring to natural birth, and born of the Spirit is referring to, obviously, spiritual birth. He goes on with this. Notice now, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. Now, he's explaining to Nicodemus, so Nicodemus understands. But notice the next phrase. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so what's he saying? He's saying that it's a man or a woman's spirit that is born of the Spirit. It is a man or a woman's or a child's spirit that is born again. Isn't that right? It's your spirit that receives the life of God. We're talking about the life of God, aren't we? It's your spirit. It's your innermost being. It's not your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. It's not your body, but it's your spirit. Of course, if your spirit is in your body, it's going to affect your body, and the life of God, therefore, will as well. Isn't that right? But it's your spirit now that is born of God. It says again in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit or of the Holy Spirit is spirit. That's the human spirit. And so you and I have been born of the Spirit, which is synonymous with being born again or born anew, right? But it's in our spirit, our innermost being. Remember, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's your spirit, man. Going back now to your notes. Notice what it says. Some facts about the born-again spirit. Letter A. Are you with me? Our spirit has the life of God. Say, I've got the life of God. Now, there's a variety of scriptures in this. It says in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, it says that God is love. He that is born of God and knows God loves others. I'm paraphrasing it again. I encourage you to read that scripture. Those that are born of God have the love of God within them, and that they, therefore, are able to love other people because they're born of God. Born in their spirit with the life of God. It says in Romans 6, 4, again, we won't turn there. It says that we were buried with Christ and raised to a new life, and we're to walk in newness of life, the God kind of life. We're to walk that life out. Notice I give a definition of the word life, the Greek word zoe, and it means this, the absolute fullness of life, zoe means, both essential and ethical, which belongs to God. We could put it in a nutshell, Zoe is the life that belongs to God. And He has placed it in us when we're born of the Spirit, in our spirit man. Other truths or facts about the born-again spirit, not only does it have the life of God, but the Bible says it's a new creature. Everybody say, I'm a new creature. Notice the big screen, another slide here. The Amplified Bible of 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it this way. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual, take note, the old spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. The old spiritual condition is gone. Because now you've been born of the Spirit, and your Spirit has the life of God, doesn't it? And then in your notes again, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that you are righteous in God's sight. It says this, He who knew no sin, that's Christ, became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. In your spirit, man, you are righteous. You may not always think righteous thoughts. You may not always live righteously. But in your spirit, you are righteous in God's sight. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a couple of minutes here. In the next one, letter D, the new spirit that has the life of God, also has the divine nature. Look with me to 2 Peter, if you will. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, beginning with we'll just read verse 4. It says this. We don't have time to read everything that's in the context of it. I encourage you to do that, though. But it says in chapter 1 and verse 4 of 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, by which have been given to us. Say, us means me. It does mean us. This is written to us as well. It says, by which have been given to us, notice it's past tense, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How many of you know that you have received promises of God? There's the promise of having been born again, and when you are, you'll see the kingdom of God. There's the promise that when Jesus ascended, He'd send us the Holy Spirit, and therefore we would receive the life of God. All of these promises have made it possible that if we'll receive them, we'll be partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. Spiritually, you have the DNA of God. You know, you might want to write down this verse as well, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. And again, we're running out of time, and I'm aware of the time, so don't watch your clock because I'm watching it for you. Amen. But in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, it says this. Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the Word of God that lives and abides forever. The idea of seed has to do with like a human father having seed. When that human seed is implanted in his wife, there is life that begins in that woman's womb, is there not? The Father has a spiritual seed called the Word of God. And when you heard the Word of God preached, the Bible says faith rose when you heard the Word preached. And that was the seed of your Heavenly Father. And when you believed that Word, you received that seed into the womb of your spirit. And the moment you did, you received the life of Almighty God, your Heavenly Father. And you were born again into the kingdom of God, weren't you?
Amen.
You've got God's DNA spiritually. He is literally your father. He's called the Father of Spirits in Hebrews chapter 12, isn't he? Amen. Go with me, and I'm about ready to close this. We won't finish our notes today. Praise God. That's not necessarily unusual, is it? Go with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. We're talking about loving others. We're talking about having a change that's taken place on the inside of us. We're talking about the fact that in your spirit you have the life of God. And if you've got the life of God, you've got the love of God. And if you've got the love of God, you've been empowered to love with that kind of love. Amen? And when we really walk in love with that kind of love, you remember I said in the beginning of this idea of love, this concept of love, I said this, you know, so many times we're talking about having a move of God. Oh, we want a move of God. And I submit to you once again, as I've said before, if we want a move of God, let's begin moving in love because God is love. And if we begin moving in love toward others, we're going to have a move of God because God is love. Amen? The very essence of His nature, the very characteristic that precedes and goes further than any other characteristic of God is that love, that divine kind of love. And so if we want a move of God, let's begin moving in love and we'll see God move. But no, in a lot of churches, all there is strife and division and gossip and backbiting and whispering. Got quiet now. But isn't that true? Instead of the love walk. Instead of the love walk. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, notice what it says. And we'll just start reading at verse 22. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The old man's the old kind of living, the old behavior, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's talking about being renewed in your mind, getting your mind renewed, changed. Then he says in verse 24, notice, and that you put on the new man. That new man is that spirit man that's been born of the Spirit. That new man is that new creature that you and I have been made to be. Again, we need to become conscious that we are new people in Christ, that there's a new creation on the inside of us the moment we accept Christ and begin to become more conscious of the new creation than we are of this flesh. And he says to put on the new man, bring it to the outside. Be clothed with the new man. Notice, which was created according to God or after God or in the image of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so the new man that you are is created in God's image, in righteousness and holiness. That new man that you are, that recreated spirit, that spirit that's been born of the Spirit is holy. If not, the Holy Spirit wouldn't be able to dwell there. That new creation, that new spirit that's been born of the Spirit on the inside of you, the real you, that which you really are, is righteous in God's sight. Again, we need to become more conscious of who we really are. Of who we really are. We're not a body. We're not even a mind, will, and emotion. We are a spirit being created in God's likeness. Amen? And so we are to put that on progressively as we renew our minds. We'll put on that new man. We'll be clothed and begin to live outwardly what Christ has already made us to be on the inside. Amen? Amen. Yes, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Good preaching, Pastor. Amen. All right. One last passage. Unfortunately, we can't finish. Go to Colossians, if you will. You're close to there anyway. Colossians is right after Ephesians and Philippians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read a few verses here. Verse 1, let's start with. If then you were raised with Christ, literally, since you have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind. Where's your mind set this morning? Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died. Say, I died. The old man died, didn't it? You need to remind him of that now and then. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members. Your members is talking about your body. Put them to death. Remind them that you have authority over your flesh. Remind your flesh when it wants to gossip that it has to be put to death. Remind your flesh when it wants to tear somebody down that it's been put to death. Remind your flesh when you don't want to work in the nursery that your flesh has been put to death because love serves God with a willing heart whether they want to or not. Amen. People say, well, God won't make me do anything I don't want to. Oh, really? You know, I can tell you this. I've never really wanted to pastor. That may come as a surprise. I struggle with that almost every day. I don't really want a pastor. But what's that got to do with anything? What does wanting to do what God wants you to do have anything to do with it? If God says do it, you do it because Jesus now is Lord, isn't He? Yeah. Amen? Got awful quiet now, but it's the truth. People say, well, I just don't feel like that's my calling. Really? But you know what? Maybe God's dealing with your heart. And you know what? If you can't have peace about it, might be God wants you to do it. Boy, I'd love to be able to say, I don't feel that's my calling to pastor. But if I did that, I'd know I'd be missing God just because I don't feel like it. What's feeling like it got to do with it? Feeling like it means you're following the flesh instead of the Spirit. This is better preaching than you look, but nevertheless, hallelujah anyway, praise God. And so it goes on, it says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, everybody say, but now. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Some may have to underline that one. Put that off from you, filthy language from out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Don't say, "I'll be praying for you, brother," and then go off your merry way and don't even pray. That's lying. Don't be lying one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. According to what's the new man? He's according to the image of him that created him. Again, that new man that you are is in his image. And the epitome of what his image is love. Goes on in verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore is the elect of God, holy and blood, put on. Everybody say, put on. First it says in verse 10, put on the new man. Now it describes some of the characteristics of the new man. I'm going to close. Don't worry, I'm about to close. This is my first closing, then there'll be a second one. But praise God anyway. Amen. Says put on. These are the new man characteristics. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Suffering long, bearing with one another. That means put up with one another and forgiving one another. Do you have the power to do that? You do if you realize that you're a new creation in Christ. If you realize you've got the life of God, the love of God on the inside of you, you've got the power to forgive no matter what they've done to you. You've got the power to do it. Stop saying, "I can't forgive so-and-so." Why? Because that's lying. God says you can. It says, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love. He says, put on the new man. He says, put on tender mercies, kindness, all those other things. And then he says, above all, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We're going to talk more about putting on love. We're going to talk more about this love walk because it is so essential. And again, it is the message of the New Testament, and it is the new command that He's given us to do. And it's an exciting way to live. I haven't got it all together, but I'm growing in it. I desire to walk in love more this year than last year. How about you? I desire to walk in love more 2 years from now than what I am going to next year. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so let's just purpose in our hearts. We want a move of God. If we want a move of God, let's start moving out with love. Because when we move out with love, then God's going to move because He moves within the environment of love. Would you stand with me, please, in the worship team if you'd come? Praise God. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank You and we praise You for Your word today. Father God, I pray that something said today would just settle down deep in our hearts. Father God, that Your Holy Spirit, as Jesus said He would bring these things to our remembrance when we have need. Father God, I know that today was more of a meaty kind of word. It takes some chewing. It takes some choking. It may take a lot more than just the milk of the word that flows down smoothly. But Father God, let us be believers that are ready for the meatier things of God. Father God, I pray that these things would not cause offense. For even when we're offended, we're walking in the flesh instead of the Spirit. But let these things cause us to come up higher, and let us be purposed in our hearts that we're going to walk the love walk like never before. I pray that You would work in all of us both to will and to do of Your good pleasure, Father God. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit who enlightens our eyes so that we might see the heights and the length and the width and the depth of the love of God that empowers us to love others. That love that God has is within us, Father. I pray we get a revelation of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's